Well, last week we talked about big men. And what we meant by that is just simply men of virtue and character in their leadership roles within the family and within the church. That lesson was not meant to say that we've all succeeded as big men. It was to say that we need to all be striving. All of us who are men need to be striving to be big men. And we cannot accept anything less than that. We cannot lower our standards to accommodate our weaknesses or our preferences or even any other thing. There's nothing that forbids us or prevents us from being the kind of men that God needs us to be, except our own lack of faith. So that's what we talked about last week. Not that we perfected those things, but that we ought to be striving for that. So this week we're going to talk about worthy women. Because just as we need big men in their roles and their responsibilities, so we need worthy women in their roles and their functions and their responsibilities. The definition of a worthy woman or an excellent wife is often taken from Proverbs 31, and we will cite that passage here in our lesson, where that worthy woman or excellent wife is depicted in the most idealistic manner. She does everything, right? And she seems to do everything with mastery and precision and really with efficiency. And that passage has been the subject of many women's classes over the years. You know, I've also heard women say, kind of off to the side there, they'll never say it during the class necessarily, but that's just too much to ask of any woman. That's just a perfect picture. Nobody can live up to that. Nobody could do all those things, right? I mean, no woman is just that good. And then that just seems overwhelming. Like, I could never do that. And therefore, that passage, instead of being encouraging and teaching and instructive, it becomes a source of disappointment and a source of discouragement and a source of frustration. That passage is there for a reason. It is not to disappoint women. It is not to discourage women. It is to offer a high ideal of what God looks for in a woman. God is not saying necessarily, do all those activities that she does. But be that kind of person that she is. Be that woman of nobility. Be that woman of high character. Be that woman of spiritual and moral strength. Have your focus there clarified and perfected, especially over time. Be that kind of virtuous woman that is defined in that passage. Think about it. Jesus is also portrayed to us as our ideal, and yet none of us match up to Jesus. None of us can be what he is. None of us can do what he did, but we can all be striving for that. And yes, the bar is high, but it needs to be high because we need to strive up to that bar instead of setting it low like so many people do, stepping over it so easily and then going, well, that was nothing. Now what? Right? And that's not how Christianity is. Christianity is a high bar. There are high expectations, and we need to struggle then to achieve those. So, and you have to realize, and I'm going to bring this out in the lesson too, it takes time to achieve those things. Whether you're going to be a big man or a worthy woman, it takes time to achieve those things. But you can't wait till you're older to start trying either. That's another aspect. Don't think that, well, when I turn 50 or 60 or whatever, then I'll start working on being that woman of virtue. You need to start a lot earlier than that, okay? Probably in your teens, if possible. And if there are teenagers here, of course, we want them to be listening. I'm not going to point out any particular teens, but anyway, we do want our young women to be listening to the instruction for these very reasons here. So, we need women to be women of virtue and character, just as we need men to be those same things, men of virtue and men of character. Although women's virtue and character may be manifested in different ways, because first of all, women are not men. Right? And then secondly, women's roles are not always the same as men's roles. God has not given women the same roles and functions as men in every case. So this lesson here is to offer some practical, helpful overview of what it means to be a worthy woman. Well, all that introduction, let's go on into the text here, the study. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 31, just kind of in a very general way here. First of all, let me just say, no woman will be flawless and infallible in her role as a woman or a wife any more than a man would be flawless or infallible in his role as a man or a husband. However, Proverbs 31 does offer some general attitudes and some attributes that all Christian women ought to strive for. First of all, we see that this woman being described here is a woman whom her husband trusts. She is trustworthy in what she does. She is trustworthy in who she is. But this is a result of that man's experience with her and not something that is automatic. You have to understand that trust, like respect, is something that you earn. It is not a given. And so this woman is trusted by her husband, but only because she has proven herself trustworthy over the years. I don't know that they necessarily started out that way in particular. Okay? Not that he didn't trust her at all, but that he doesn't trust her like he does now is kind of the picture that we're getting here. You know, there are some women, and I've heard this so many times, saying things like, well, my husband doesn't trust me. But then in some of these cases, you look at these women, and I'm thinking in my mind, you haven't given him any good reason to trust you. Trust needs to be earned. And if you've not given a person a good reason to trust you, then why should you be considered trustworthy? I would say the same thing to young people of any age, okay, teens and 20s and so on. Until you are proven, until you are experienced, okay, we don't just give you a carte blanche trustworthy attribute there. You have to show yourself to be trustworthy. We'll give you benefit of doubt, but you need to show yourself that in the same. Here's an example here. Years ago, when Honey and I were first in our new home and so on, Honey has this passion, some of you know this, of just kind of remodeling the house and while I'm gone at work. And so I'd come home and the whole bedroom would be different, or living room would be rearranged and something like this. And at first, I have to admit, I got a little, disturbed by all this. Like, what are you doing? You know, I was so used to everything being the way it was. And now you changed it all. And I get so exasperated by that. Like, I didn't have any say in this. And you just went and did this all by yourself. And who are you to do this? And what I was really communicating was, I just don't trust what you're doing. And that really wasn't a good thing. She still does the remodeling thing. And now what happens is I walk in and go, wow, this looks different. I like this. Wise, right? No, I mean, what I'm doing there is I'm saying she's got proficient skills in that area, and I trust her judgment on that. Doesn't mean I can't comment, and it doesn't mean that I can't offer suggestions. It means that if she says, hey, I'm going to change this and that, I go, okay. Much more so than I ever have done. And why is that? Because she's proven herself in that area to know what she's doing. All right, it's a silly illustration perhaps, but it's a very serious point. Women, once you've proven yourself, then you can be trustworthy. And men, once your wife has proven herself trustworthy, then you are to trust her. Okay? It goes both ways there. I want to caution on something, though. Just because your husband trusts you doesn't mean that you're entirely trustworthy. Because women have been known to con or deceive their husbands, just as husbands have learned to con or deceive their wives. So it doesn't mean that I've got my husband to trust me, therefore I'm a trustworthy person. You may have duped your husband, for all I know, and deceived him with things. I'm just saying that don't think that just because one person in your life trusts you, therefore it carries all across the board there. You need to be trustworthy in all the areas of your life, not just with your husband there. So the implication in Proverbs is that this woman is trustworthy with her husband and in all other contexts as well. She is a woman of productivity. She is industrious. She does things that benefits her husband and her children and those outside her household as well. Proverbs 31, verse 12 and following. Not all Christian women are like this. There are some who spend a great amount of time doing little or nothing at all. On the other hand, there are some women who thankfully are here in this audience who are constantly acting in the best interests of their husband, their household, and those outside their household, those in need. Women, just like men, are not born productive and industrious. That is a learned skill, and it is one that is perfected by training and experience. You can't assume, therefore, that just because you are a wife and a mother, that therefore you're immediately productive, organized, and efficient. Because those are things that you have to learn how to do. And the best way to learn how to do them, besides your own trial and error and experience there, is to look upon the women that you admire who are doing things well and imitate them. So I challenge all the women here in this audience today. At the end of the day, I would like you to review what you did and ask yourself, what did I actually accomplish today? Was it profitable? Who did I serve in the name of Christ? Did I make good use of my time today? And questions like that. I'm not saying there's no room for a time out and recreation and a nap, okay? What I'm saying is, how did your day go? And did you use your day wisely? The woman in Proverbs here is also a provider in her own right and in her own area of responsibility. Proverbs 31, verse 19 and following. She is not a provider on the same level as her husband, or should be anyway. That is, her husband ought to be the breadwinner or provider, but she is productive in her own sphere of duties. Not to equal or to replace her husband as the head of the family, but to complement his role and what he does. Notice, though, that the first priority of this woman here is not her job, it is not her career, it is not her boss at work, and it is not her co-workers, it is her husband and her children. That is her first priority. And with that in mind, I'd like you to turn with me to Titus chapter 2, where there is this well-known passage here that we're going to read anyway, even though it is well-known, because it has some very important things for us to consider on this note. Titus chapter 2. In verse 3, it says, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So what you're seeing here is that this passage does not prohibit outside employment, but it does make it very clear that her primary and her most important duty there is her domestic responsibilities. This is more important. This is demands the foremost attention, and this cannot be neglected, even if you have some outside extracurricular, if you will, activity. Okay? This is something very important to God. In fact, it goes on to say that that the word of God would be dishonored if indeed women were not pursuing those things. So it's not just Chad's opinion that you ought to, you know, focus on these things. It is really God telling us all this is what he expects of us. Now, on that note, I do realize that today's economy puts a tremendous strain upon Christian families. I have been told in the statistics that it takes 2.5 incomes to just live a normal and what we would call a median existence here in this society. And sometimes that requires then the wife to seek employment outside the home. I'm not against that myself, personally, and I'm not saying that the Bible prohibits that. What I'm saying is that you cannot seek that outside employment at the expense of your God-given duties to your husband and to your family. And when you start seeing that start to take over the one, then you need to reconsider what you're doing altogether. That's what I think the Word of God is very clear on. This woman needs to be a woman of moral strength and dignity and to have a positive outlook. She smiles at the future, it says there. She speaks in wisdom and kindness. She is not lazy, therefore. She's not unmotivated. She's not self-absorbed, always thinking about me and how it affects me and how I feel about this and so on. But she seeks, again, the welfare of her husband and her household and those outside of her household. Proverbs 31, verse 25 and following. She is deserving of praise and admiration from both her husband and her children, not because they have to say so to avoid the wrath of the woman, right? But because she has earned that right or that privilege because of her dignified, well-behaved manner, how she's handled herself. On the other hand, women, Just because you are deserving of praise from those who ought to be praising you doesn't mean they will praise you. And it doesn't mean that you need to become bitter or morose or give up everything because you didn't get praised by people that you expected to praise you. I'm saying that because sometimes men take their wives for granted. And I think even more so, children take their parents for granted. And there's not a whole lot of thanks and gratitude going on. And there's not a whole lot of appreciation sometimes for the things that wives and women do generally. And what I'm saying is, what you need to do then is to seek your approval not from men or not from your children. You need to seek God's approval and let His praise be your praise, and let that be sufficient. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:5, the Lord will bring both to light the things that are hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and each man's praise will come to him from God. Well, put the word woman in there, and it all means the same thing. Each woman's praise will come to her from God. And that's how we have to look at things. It would be wonderful if all of our husbands, right, were appreciative and always recognize and acknowledge everything we do. That's just not real life. And unfortunately, husbands just aren't that attentive or perceptive or just not that gracious always. But God is perceptive, and God remembers everything, and God remembers what you do. And so therefore, above all, this woman fears the Lord. Proverbs 31, verse 30. It does not say this woman goes to church or this woman calls herself a Christian, because anybody can do that. Here is a woman who genuinely, sincerely, respectfully honors God with her heart and with her life. Those reasons are why this woman is called an excellent wife or a worthy woman. It's not just because she knows how to barter and plant things and, you know, sell clothing on the market and all these other things. It's because she is a woman of virtue and character, which is exactly what we've been stressing all along among the men. You need to be men of virtue and character as well. So, nonetheless, some women might balk at this and say, well, that's just not realistic. Again, no woman can do all those things. Well, maybe not perfectly, or even in your present state of maturity, but once again, this provides a powerful and ideal incentive or standard by which to gauge yourself. God says, I need a woman to be a worthy woman. And then He provides examples like this, as well as numerous other character examples of women in Scripture, to show women what He means by that. He has given you then the means by which to measure yourself and something noble to strive after. Unfortunately, some women, just like some men, descend into excuse-making and finger-pointing instead of looking at the Scripture and saying, I will do my best. And so there are some women who say things like, well, I would be a worthy woman, but of course my husband or my children or my family just will not cooperate with that. You have to understand that personal virtue and personal character is not dependent on what your husband does or does not do. It is not dependent upon whether you get approval from your family or not. It doesn't depend on anyone else in the world except for yourself. And that's what God is focusing on here. It is dependent upon that person and that person's exercise of what He has offered him or her in the Scripture. Just because you can't fulfill every literal function that is described in Proverbs 31 doesn't mean you cannot share that woman's attitude and outlook. Or there's women who say, I'm just so tired when I come home, I have no energy. And it is a proven fact that women struggle with fatigue issues because of physiology and other issues, okay? That's just a fact. However, it is also true that sometimes this lack of energy is a result of other factors that can be changed, such as poor diet, lack of exercise, staying up too late, etc. It is unfair to the husband and to the household for a woman to give of her best to her job and then all the leftovers and her exhaustion to them. That is unfair. Similarly, it is unfair to dress up and look pretty and ideal for your boss and your coworkers and to come home and get in your t-shirt and sweatpants for your husband. Not very impressive. and not very fair either. Maybe it's time for women who are suffering from this I have no energy thing to really take some serious look at their health issues and their lifestyle and make some changes and to reduce that fatigue. I'm not saying that it can always work. I'm not trying to play doctor here. I'm simply trying to be pragmatic and saying if you have poor lifestyle issues because of poor lifestyle choices, and then you're suffering from that, change the lifestyle issues and choices, and you will have better results, is all I'm saying. Or some women say, well, I do have true chronic health issues that prevent me from being this worthy woman. First of all, you cannot confuse chronic negative lifestyle choices with health issues. Okay? If you have health issues, we're talking about there, things that are outside of your control. If you have poor lifestyle choices that lead to fatigue and you know, lack of energy and so on, well, then that's within your ability to change those, as I just said. But even if you do not have the physical strength to do all that a healthy wife or mother could do, you can still exhibit a Christian attitude, a Christian disposition, and have a Christian desire for God. In other words, don't sit there and give yourself a crutch and say, well, I could, but if you're going to be a worthy woman, then you're going to be a worthy woman inside out. Okay? We're not going to just measure you by what you do outwardly. Your measurement is going to be by what kind of person you are, your character within. And Peter says something about that, and we'll get to that in due time there, right? 1 Peter chapter 3. Or there's a woman who says, well, I just can't do that. I've tried it in the past. I've given up. I've just failed at this. So you failed before, and now you're going to make a career out of it. That makes sense, right? So any of us could use that line, right? Because we've all failed before. Here's the truth of the matter. You are going to fail, and you're probably going to fail more often than you'd like. And that's just part of life. And you're going to fail at the things that you thought you were best at. And you're going to fail at the things that you probably should not have failed at. And yet, you can still pick up and go on from there. God says that you can do this, and He expects each one of you women, just as He expects each one of us men, to do and give your very best to Him. That's what He expects. And I believe strongly that He has given us the tools by which to accomplish those things. Plus, He has given us His own divine providence to do what we cannot do. Or there's the trump card, because we always have to put this in here. The universal trump card is, you don't understand my situation, right? I'm a guy, I'm insensitive, or not understanding, or I just can't understand women, etc. I don't understand their health issues, I don't understand their physiology, I don't understand their, you know, all the things they have to do, etc., etc. And I'm going to give you women that up front. I don't understand all of that. And that's not the point. I don't have to understand women entirely in order to know that God says for women to be a worthy kind of person. Okay? Just like you women, although you might think otherwise, do not understand men as well as you might think. And yet men have the responsibility to be godly men. Period. And that's just the way it is. That's what we have to be left with there, okay? We don't all understand how we're all wired and everything else, and that's okay. We don't have to understand all that in order to understand that there are some things that have to be done because God says these things have to be done. They're that important. The fact is we all have our personal struggles. We have our baggage. We have our issues to contend with. We all have our limitations and in our opportunity, our ability, and our experience, but none of us have a valid reason as to why we cannot give the Lord our very best. Which means giving our husbands or our wives and our children and our congregations and those outside of our congregations our very best. If we had focused more on that than on our limitations and our crutches and our excuses, see, then we would all find the bar, even though it is high, we would all find ourselves coming closer and closer to exactly what God wants us to do. Again, this is not a lesson of accusation. I'm not saying specific things here or about specific people. This is a lesson of general application. But the truth is self-evident. That if we were all trying harder, then we would all do better, and we would all see the improvement in our life. right? It's just common sense, really. Well, beyond all these things that we just talked about, there are some big picture perspectives that Christian women ought to consider. And I say this just for the idea of adding insight and dimension to how they see themselves in their proper role as worthy women. So I'm going to talk to the women directly here just because it makes it easier, less wordy, okay? God made you a woman. I'm assuming you are a woman when I say that, okay? But God made you a woman, and I'm asking you to respect that decision of His. Don't hold God in contempt because He didn't make you a man. Don't hold God in contempt because He did make you a woman. And don't rebel against what He made you, and don't rebel against the roles that He assigned to you, or don't rebel against the kind of submission that He asks of you. And don't take out your disappointment or your frustration on your husband or your children or even this congregation because you don't have all the rights and responsibilities of a man. And I say that because I have heard this from women over the years. I'm talking about a long period of time here where women have been very disgruntled or upset or just, kind of indignant toward the idea that men get to do this and men get to do that and women don't get to do anything is how it's kind of put sometimes. First of all, it's just not true. And secondly, that begrudges what God chose you to be. And yes, men do perhaps get to do things that women don't do. But the women also get to do things that men don't do or don't do very well. Okay? Don't resent men because God made you a woman. Instead, rejoice in the fact that God determined you to be a woman. For whatever reason He determined that, respect that and rejoice in that. Because you can't hide ugliness. And I'm talking about ugliness of character here. You can't hide an ugly, rebellious woman under makeup and pretty clothes and everything else. Proverbs 11:22 says, "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion." I think that's well put. If a woman is ugly in her character, no amount of jewelry or hairdos or dresses is going to cover that up. So don't be that kind of woman. Be a woman of discretion. Be a woman of dignity. Be a woman of a noble character. God's decision to make you a woman is the context by which your life and your relationships are governed. In other words, don't try to be a man, but at the same time, don't fail to be a woman. We're not talking about matters of inferiority or superiority here, like men are superior. Women, know your place. We're not talking about that. That's just not right. Men need to know their place just as much as women do, okay? The problem with our society right now is the places are all kind of jumbled up. Nobody really knows what it means to be a man or a woman, for that matter. So what we're focusing here is on not who's better or who's more important or who's superior to who, because that's not even relevant. That's not even part of this. What we're talking about here is God has made you a woman, so live up to what God has made you. Exercise your feminine qualities and your feminine virtues with dignity, respect, and sincerity. In other words, that's what we're talking about here. And remember that worthiness is a mature state. It is not a given. It doesn't mean that there's nothing worthy about a young woman at all or up front. That's not what we're saying. But that you cannot assume that everyone should trust you, respect you, give you every benefit of doubt, and treat you like a well-tested and virtuous woman just because you're a woman. There's no reason behind that that is legitimate or substantiated. It's an opinion and nothing else. We live in a society of instant gratification. And that filters into the church and our thinking about ourselves, and yes, even women's thinking about themselves. Because out there in society, women want to be recognized and acknowledged and appreciated and admired just because they're women. And the fact is, there's some really ugly women out there. And again, I'm not talking about physical looks here. I'm talking about their character, or really their lack of character, and their lack of discretion, their lack of decency. You know, sometimes when you go to the movie or you read the movie reviews, a lot of time, and it's becoming more and more frequent anymore, instant classic. Have you ever heard that? This movie is an instant classic. And I'm always looking at that going, what? That's such an oxymoron. Because classic indicates something that's been around for a while. It's tested, right? It's endured. It's gone through the critical stages of examination and proving and everything else. Instant means that it sidesteps all of that and just assigns a boom, a label like classic. And it means nothing. Instant classic is like two things that, you know, don't go together. And I think sometimes women get caught up in that. I'm a woman, therefore I'm an instant classic. No, you're not. Actually, you need to be proven, and you need to endure, and you need to be put under the microscope in some ways for your character and so on. If indeed you want to be the worthy woman that God needs you to be. And I would say the same thing about men and their ideas about I'm an instant classic, or okay? Because those men have to go through that same grueling process there. And some of that process will be unfair, and it will not be the way that it should be, and so on. But all we're saying here is that nobody is an instant classic. And it is impossible to be a godly wife or a godly mother if you are not first a godly woman. Just think about that. So many people want to be a godly wife or a godly mother, but if you're not a godly woman, you cannot be either one of those. Before you start defining yourself as a wife or a mother, you have to first see yourself and foremost as a female servant of God. Often women get caught up with taking care of their physical concerns, child-raising responsibilities, all that stuff, and they forget that as a Christian, they have to be devoted to God above all else. That's where their priority ought to be. Because it doesn't matter if you keep house well, or if you take care of your children well, or if you have all these good things going on, if you are not a godly woman, then all that just becomes a moot point. An excellent woman is one who loves God more than her husband, more than her children, and more than herself. That's an excellent woman. Because she will do in that love, or because of that love, the very best that any wife or mother could do in her service to the Lord. Think about this passage here. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. In that short passage there, we have the focus not on husbands, not on trying to please your husband. We have focus on in the Lord, for the Lord, from the Lord. And that really has to be your emphasis. And yes, someone says, well, you could use that same passage for men. Of course you can, except for the wives part, okay? Of course this is applied across the board. It's gender neutral as far as the last part of that is concerned. It is from the Lord that you receive your praise. God finds great favor with women who serve him well. And realize, women, that while you're on the earth, yes, you are put in a submissive role toward your husbands and toward men in general, but it will not be that way forever, because in heaven there is no husbands and wives. There are no men and women. We are all the same in heaven. These distinctions are for here, and they're for here for a purpose. There's a reason why, for law and order, for stability, for working relationships and all those things. They're here for a reason, but it won't be that way forever. The church will always need, desperately need, worthy women in order for it to be successful. Worthy women bring to the table certain perspectives, certain, yes, maternal instincts, and certain feminine qualities that men just do not have or cannot duplicate. The church needs worthy women. Just like the church needs big men. And don't forget that the church in her glory is not depicted as a man, but is depicted as a woman. You realize the only heavenly entity that is described in all of biblical literature as a woman is the church. And that says something about what God thinks about the feminine qualities with which he has given to women. Proverbs 31, verse 30 says that a charm is deceitful, beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. A worthy woman is one who has voluntarily placed Jesus Christ at the center of her heart and serves him obediently. There's no good reason why every woman in this room cannot be that kind of woman ultimately, or cannot strive to be that kind of woman. It's really not a cannot issue. It's a matter of personal choice. You either choose to be a worthy woman or you don't. Just like with men, you either choose to be a big man or you accept something less than that. So I'm asking women, choose to be a worthy woman. And if you're not there yet, well, strive for the ideal. Strive for that high bar there. Becoming a worthy woman can begin even when we're young, when women are young, I should say. Fathers, mothers, then, above training your daughters how to drive a car or get a job or seek a husband, focus them on being a worthy woman. Focus them on what is most important. Those other things will come in time, but this one thing will serve not only her best interest, it will serve the best interest of her future husband, and it will serve the best interest of the church as well. Last week we asked men, are you striving to be a big man? And so this week we're asking women, are you striving to be a worthy woman? The lesson is yours as we continue in our series on marriage in the home. If there's anyone subject to that invitation, if you need to be baptized into Christ, if you're prepared for that, or if you have other spiritual concerns with which we can help you, then this would be your time to respond to that by coming forward, if needed, as we stand and sing the song Richard has selected for us.